it loud and clear. You're looking good.
Yeah, you too.
Cool. I got to call you later, but thank you so much for setting up that other stuff with Dave or whatever his name is. The referral guy.
Oh, yeah. Bill Cates. Yeah.
Bill Cates. Thank you so much for taking the lead on that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, I tried to do it as an example of how to do it, right? So you do a Zoom introduction. I think we got some Weaver. Somebody has got something on in the office. There we go. Let's see. How's that? Can you hear me, Jim? Good. No reverb.
Participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded. Be recorded.
There you go. There's the reverb. All right. So just to let you know, I am doing a Zoom call on Thursday. A webinar with Bill Cates on Thursday at 11 o'clock my time, 12 o'clock Eastern. So some people have gotten that notice and some people haven't. But I think if you're, Jim, if you're interested in what he has to say, I think you'll find this interesting. It's going to be just a conversation between the two of us. Talking about, you know, doing business and generating business in the COVID world. So it should be good. He's interesting and good speaker.
Yeah, I talked to Rob, sorry to interrupt. I talked to Cindy earlier in the week. Unfortunately, that time, Thursday the 17th at noon, is our mandatory State of the Complex call. Yeah. So, but she said it was going to be recorded.
Right. No, I remember. Jim, now I remember getting that from you. Thanks. I appreciate the feedback. Okay.
Jim, can't you ask Tim to move that meeting, please?
Come on, guys. You know, take it easy on me, you know. I'm in enough trouble already.
Just put the heat on him. Anyway, so what's on your mind, and then maybe we can have you guys report in based on the roles and the five-star model. I think we've done a good job with that in the past.
Well, actually, before we get started, I just on a personal note, I know things in Lancaster have gotten very difficult the last 2 days. I was going to call you folks. So thoughts and prayers to everybody out there.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Jeff. It's been a little crazy, but we're getting through it. If
it's
a police
like
officer
city.
Is not justified in shooting someone who's chasing him with a butcher knife, then there's never going to be a justification for an officer involved shooting.
Hang on, we've got an expert. Hold on, right. We've got an expert right here.
I'm no expert.
Was that your one that was asked, Kurt? Kurt's a state, he's a state policeman. He's protecting.
He's going to the range today to practice his skills.
That's right.
Good.
Are you using real bullets or are they rubber with gas canisters?
Yeah, we're going real. We're all in.
Well, thank you for everything you do to protect us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your service. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. All right.
We're big fans.
I don't know. Does anybody have
anything specific
on their mind?
I mean, I feel like, I don't know if this is relative or not, but as restaurants are opening and we're able to have meetings at least there, like getting in front of people has been productive for our team and has been a great way just to book more business and add to the relationship. And Zoom is great and so are conference calls, but being in front of them has actually been really beneficial for us. So process is working and clients are happy. We finally have Pierce, who's our virtual assistant, is doing a great job with the communications on social media, and clients are just.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's
yeah. They are. He's on top of that. And it's something we just didn't have time really to do before. If we were following the supernova and really, you know, talking to our clients a lot more. So.
Yeah. But, thanks for that feedback. Rob is now an expert on the Virtual Engagement Association or Associate program. We did a conference call with Carlos Noriega and his right-hand man. So he's up to speed, and what an integral part, not to get off track, but what an integral part being able to outsource such a big part of Supernova, which is the marketing, social media, digital presence, all that stuff. So Rob is officially a fan of the VEA.
Yeah, I am. And if we get time at the end, I'd love to hear some more details on what he's actually doing for you. So why don't we kind of get started with the director of planning, and we'll just go through the director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership.
You're up, Jen.
I think you're on mute.
Oh. Thanks, Rob.
Okay. So, a reminder.
In September, we have a system in place where we're tracking plans sent to our wealth advisory associate who does our life view plans, and then also the finished plans are sent back to Rob and Bryant. And then how many are approved for credit for him and then monitored for financial planning engagement. So in September so far, we have 12 plans monitored, and we have 5 plans outstanding to Alexander for him to complete. And that's what I was looking at when I had to jump back in. So it's probably not moving the needle yet this month as far as our percentage of plans monitored, but I'm confident that because we have a system in place, we're looking at it every day, we will start to move that needle closer to the 20% target we've set.
I know you asked me for some help, Jen, on that, and Abby and I spoke, and I know it's not a perfect system, but it's not as easy to track exactly where you are cumulatively and then each week, how many you've added each week, right? That's what we're trying to do.
Even just a snapshot once a month where Rob and Bryant are measured or the team is measured as far as a percentage of monitored plans compared to overall client or accounts.
Right. Okay, I'm working on that because I can get it by each individual on my Modern Wealth Management Effectiveness dashboard, which you guys don't have access to, but it only takes one person. So I did Rob and I did Matt, and they were different. So I'm going to reach out to the region, and I talked to Abby. So I haven't forgotten about you. I'm still working on that.
Thank you.
Well, Jim, Rob and Matt may be different because Rob and I are on a JPN with Trig and Kurt that is going to really inflate our denominator and decrease our total percentage versus where Matt and Michelle would be.
Right, so we'll do the best we can. I'm gonna reach out to the region while you guys are talking now and see if they get back to me.
Okay. In terms of total plans done, percentage of clients with a plan, Jen, where are you there?
That's what we're trying to figure out, though, what Jim is going to ask the region to provide. I don't have access to that. I guess it has to come from a regional view entitlement. I don't have entitlement to view that.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, just to give you some ideas behind the numbers.
Yeah.
If you look at our group, the book that we brought in a year and a half ago, and then the book that will be coming to us in August, there's a total of about 1,013 households. 256 of them are in that group that will come in August. My guess is Jen might have done a couple of plans with them when she was the WAA. But my guess is they are very close to less than 4 or 5% plans in that book.
Okay.
We also have another book that we took in last year, which is 79 households. We're working through them, getting them plans, and then that leaves an additional 678 in our book that we're probably, if we looked at that number, we're probably closer to 20% than we think. But overall, it puts Rob and I somewhere around 11% because of the inflated denominator. So that's kind of where we are.
Well, and to go on a little more, Bryant, we have our main households have plans. The butlers within the household don't have the plans. So I think that's one of our goals, is to get these butlers done on GPS when we work a way through.
Right.
Great.
Hey, I'm frozen here. I know you guys can hear me, but I might have to reboot my system. I don't think I don't know if that'll kick me off Zoom. Anybody
we
know
can see
that?
You now. You're moving as you're talking.
Yeah,
we can see you and hear you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to stay put then. What's it called? Everything froze on my system here. So.
Okay.
Tim wants to talk to you after the meeting.
Okay.
What?
How about implementation, the 24-month calendar, the investment process, et cetera? I think that's, is that Matt? Or?
Yeah, we've been, hey guys, that's me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yep. So one thing we've been doing right now, Rob, is just kind of reviewing the risk tolerance for all of our clients. Now that we've had such a quick recovery in the markets and there's a lot going on heading into the election. So one thing we actually just worked on with Pierce, or scheduled with him 2 days ago, was an NDA to go out to all of our clients that's going to look at just the election, kind of some things that we're seeing in the election right now and how that affects the markets typically. And I know what we've been doing with our clients as we make our monthly supernova calls is we're just taking a look at their position compared to their risk. And for some clients, I know we've been taking some of these gains off the table. We've obviously had a great run these last couple of months in the market. So for some of our more conservative clients, we've been focusing on, you know, clearing a little bit off the top and reinvesting it a little bit more conservatively. So we've kind of been hammering down on the risk tolerance for these clients, and then still kind of looking forward and keep evaluating as we get closer to the election and, you know, a couple of the things that might spark the market here a little bit.
What's your overall rate of return on an average portfolio this year?
It depends on the client for us right now. So obviously we have clients who are in much different investment stages of their life. So I would say for a client who we have that is retired, maybe in a little bit more of a conservative portfolio, their returns year to date with our global investment committee have been anywhere from 3 to 6%.
Mm-hmm. And for the 12 months ending, they're probably
They're probably at
we're breaking up a little bit on that, but they're a little bit higher over the last 12 months. That is correct. Probably closer to the 8% range.
Right.
But we have clients who, again, are much more aggressive. And, you know, I've seen a couple of portfolios that we have that are up 75% year to date at this point.
Wow. Whoa.
Well, they have 50%.
Those are obviously our more aggressive. Yeah, a lot of heavy Apple owners, big tech stock owners, and we have there's one portfolio that we use that has done very well as well.
Well, congratulations, great. One of the things we want to do is to make sure we don't have too many tails. It's great to have outstanding performance, as long as that's part of your plan, right?
Absolutely. I think for us, we've committed to being a goals-based wealth management team. So everything we do hammers back to the plans that Jen works on. And we want to make sure that the portfolios we recommend reflect what is suggested in the plans. But we still do have clients who, A, just want to, you know, are comfortable with maximizing risk and looking for maximum return. So in those cases, we have a couple of asset managers that we've identified that we really like. But again, over the last couple of years, we've tried to really limit the offerings that we have. It's not just a free-for-all in what we recommend.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So that everybody in the can explain the process as clearly as the person that's running the portfolios. So it's just kind of the supernova of the investment process. So you don't have, you know, 300 or 600 mutual funds and things like that. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't. These two guys who used to run the book by themselves, they maybe had that approach of having too many different times of mutual funds, but I think they were smart enough to bring on some new members of the team that have cleared them up a little bit.
That's great. Okay. All right. The brand management. Is that Mike?
That's probably me.
We can't hear you, Brian. Brian, I think you're muted. I see you trying to talk, but I can't hear anything on my screen.
That's right. It wasn't that funny. I said the wholesalers came in and bought us lunch. We had to buy mutual funds.
Okay, Mikloff.
That's me, Michelle.
Michelle, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So for brand management, we've done a great job with working with Pierce, again, updating our website. We have a member who has been on our team for a couple of years. We updated that. He's working on it now. The bios have been updated and the pictures as well. So we're looking into, it looks like finally LinkedIn is going to allow us to have a team page. So I'm working with Pierce. I have a call right after this to also talk to him about prospect emails and a list we came up with for NBAs for the prospects. So we're going to clean that up right after this call. And, get him rolling on content that's applicable to just prospects. I feel like we're doing a great job in terms of brand management, but.
Terrific. How about I talked to a guy this morning and I asked him how he was doing on his scheduler and scheduling calls. And he said, well, I'm just calling people now that's gone to, COVID-19, I'm going, oh my God, how did that happen? So Supernova is still working for you in terms of scheduling appointments and making sure everybody's sticking to a schedule and a team schedule of appointments and great.
Well, a lot of calls last month and this month are around rollovers for unit trust. So it gives us a reason to call where you're going to call anyway and B to talk about something in the portfolio. So it's kind of, and there's a lot. Rob loves his uncommon values fun. So with, we're talking to a lot of clients.
On the you like last month, Michelle, didn't you?
Yeah. Rob loves his certain UIT. So
did we have a good month?
Yeah, we had a lot.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay, terrific. All right. In terms of, I guess, leadership.
Some of it's been mentioned, Rob. You know, basically the emphasis on getting the plans in place in a deliberate manner. So we're going through this month as many as we can. I think I was a little bit overzealous that we would get them all done in 1 month.
Yeah.
Just the way that it takes to review it with the client, get back to Jen, and she works with Alexander, then it comes back, and then we got to get back to the client and deliver it. So I think it's been a little bit, maybe it's a 2 month project rather than a 1 month project. However, the plan going forward then is the next step on that. And as soon as I'm able to get off the crutches and be able to drive again, getting out to see clients at their place, since they're not coming into the office at this point,
and actually walking them physically through their computer, if they're not already enrolled on Morgan Stanley Online, the mobile app, and then some of the apps that will help us with this. You know, I won't have to go back to the client for values and dollar figures and things like that. If they get onto our total wealth view, the digital vault, things like that, where we right. can actually physically help them do that in person. So that's probably going to take us through the end of the year to get there. I think from a couple of other things that I just sent out today, I sat through a Zoom 101 meeting yesterday that was focused on client interaction, client meetings versus via Zoom, how to prepare for them, the tools to use during. It was kind of an overview. There's a 201 and a 301 coming in October, but I think that's going to be important for us going forward too, because we still don't know at this point when the office is going to be open for clients. And I think if we get good at that, be able to deliver a plan, share the screen, show them their plan page by page and go through that with them, it will cut down some travel time for clients and for us in terms of, you know, having to sit down face to face across a desk rather than across. And again, we'll leave that up to them. There are some people who are just not going to want to do that. And I guess the only other thing we kind of made mention of is too, we talked about this a little last time, but you know, we're within a year now until we are going to take on a book that includes 256 additional households, 122 million in assets, and doing about $600,000 in T12. So we have to get our book in place and ready with the planning and organized so that we can take that book on then. And part of that process is, also, we're not going to wait until August 31st to start meeting with these clients to develop plans. Once our plans are in place, Rob and I are planning to meet with Kurt and Trigg and some of their clients along the way over the next 10 or 11 months to have those plans in place, have them used to working with us or at least interacting with us before those two retire. So I guess that's kind of, I don't know if I missed anything, but I think that's kind of where we are right now in terms of the overall picture.
Where are you in terms of revenues versus previous year and in assets?
Both are up. I ran our numbers at the end of August, didn't I, guys? I thought we were up something like 12 or 13% revenue.
I think it was 12 and a half or 13.
Assets are up. We're all positive NAA. I ran specifically the ones like the one that was really kind of our training wheels is, you know, the book that we took over about a month or a year and a half ago was $40 million in assets, 79 households, and 250K in T12. Now, it was only about, Rob, he was just over 200 at the time, right?
That's correct.
So we've increased that. The fee based on that account is 80%, and the recurring revenue is 92%. And, you know, the ROA on that particular book there on its fee base is over one, which is even up from a year ago when it was 0.92. So, you know, we're moving that in the right direction. That's kind of the template we're going to use going forward in September when we bring this other book in. And, you know, that kind of becomes our prospecting over the course of the next several years, because once we get good at doing this and we can show this advisor in question a month later came back to Rob and said, what are you guys doing? I'm making more while I'm retired than I am while I was working. So, you know, we get good at that and can show that to other teams who are looking to retire, you know, this could be a snowball that starts rolling down a hill.
It's amazing, the longevity thing. You know, we worried about the longevity problem in our industry, and it's here now, isn't it? I mean, it's for real. I mean, these guys.
Yeah, in Why I'm Missing office, I had a guy go out in February, and then our biggest producer is going out at the end of this month and turning the book over to his daughter. So, yeah, people are starting to leave.
Yeah, this is Jim. Real quick, Brian, thanks for mentioning that. and I know Rob is on the call with us, but when before you said what you just said, I was going to ask you, when you integrate these new books, do you feel, which I think you just answered, that the Supernova process and the structure has helped you not be so, because it was pretty overwhelming when you inherit these books and the project and
right.
in a way when you don't have a specific system. And I hate to overuse that word, but you know, I can hear it in your voice. You sound like you're more ready to absorb and scale, which are the words that you're using. So I think that this process has been a good one for your team.
Absolutely. And it's all about all of us climbing up scale as we take on these accounts. You know, maybe we're still holding more accounts than we should below 250, but maybe, you know, when this book comes in, we're not going to be able to hold accounts under 500 and we'll still be making more, you know, doing more revenue and more complicated planning and things like that. And, you know, maybe there's another one that could come down the road a couple years beyond that we've started some talks with. So, it's all about that idea. I don't remember, Rob, exactly what you call it, but it is just passing them down, getting them the same service and training someone else to take that part of the book and continue to service it as it was being served by us, but it allows
right.
us to move up there. So.
Yeah, we call that stair step to the stars.
That's what it
right.
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
and for FAAs and WAAs, I mean, that to be able to have, you know, a book of business, the warm calls and people that they can say, well, you know, I've got the time to wait 4 or 5 years for a 401k rollover or something, and you guys are doing the right thing for your client, keeping it in-house. So it's a wonderful thing. It's great. Good for you.
Yeah, is there I know we had some issues in terms of reassigning clients. Bring me up to date on that, and what's your plan? Do you bring in another FA, or do you have a place to send them now, or what will happen to those 250 clients?
I don't think they're the problem yet, but they will be the problem potentially in 10 or 11 months. But you know, Jen still has capacity that way. She's still in the FAA program, and there are a lot of accounts that are just hanging around that are producing some revenue that she's not even necessarily getting paid well on it, but at least it keeps her gross into the tiers. That stuff's going to go. I would get rid of it yesterday if it were
right.
up to me. But as far as, and I don't care where it goes, I'd send it to the call center, every single one of them. But for Jen's sake, we leave it there now. And then, you know, that next group there where be where she would step to, you know, 250 to 500 or something like that, as we have to continue climbing up and everybody climbs up.
Right.
The other issue we're having is with all of these accounts and plans, Jen is basically our planning coordinator. She's doing a great job. We're
right.
taking a lot of her time now, especially this month when we really got focused on it. So it's taking time away from her. So we're having to supplement her with, you know, some tickets that we can, you know, Rob and Jen and I looked at her accounts that were below 100, Jen? And she did something like $5,000 of gross production for the month and got paid out $351 of net revenue. That's
yeah.
just a big waste of time. We have to keep them there for now for that, but there's no need to keep them around any longer than we have to.
It was accounts under 250, and there are some, like Jim mentioned, that maybe they're still working and contributing to a 401k, but looking at retirement in the next few years. So that's worth holding on to and continuing that relationship. But a lot of the ones that are just drawing down, you know, that's negative NAA. I'm happy to service them for now, but it's not sustainable for the long term.
Yeah, well, good. You guys seem to have managed the issue as well as anybody, because it's, you know, it's not, it's a little bit frustrating, I know, to, you know, not having, not being able to, the center not being able to take all the clients, and they ended up having to hold some of them. So,
yeah, you know, it's pretty much that anything we want to send there, they don't want, and anything we don't want to send there, they'll take them all day.
Yeah, I know. It's
yeah.
like
her annuities. They'd love to. They're eligible.
Yeah.
Right. Right. They want the people with the money, and everybody wants the same thing. Anyway, well, good. I'd say a big tip of the hat. Congratulations. Way to go. I would say that there's not a, excuse me, there's not a big hole that you guys, you know, you're making excuses about. It's, you've pretty much gotten in there and done everything.
Well, it still feels like there's, you know, we don't have completely have our arms completely around it at this point, but we're getting there, I think.
I would agree.
Is there anything that we should set a goal for next month?
Go ahead, Brian.
No, go ahead, Rob.
No, I would still say, hey, we're trying to bring up our planning numbers to get over 20%. So, I mean, that is our goal, is get us over 20% in planning for all our clients. So that's our immediate goal, so we could put that down.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that our goal for any client that we're going to keep on board, the goal should be 100% plans.
Right.
But we're not going to get there next month, so don't hold us to that.
No, but that's the point. That's really what we want to do in terms of Jen, is to say, okay, Jen, this is our goal, 100%. And we'd like to be at 20% by next month. And that's, you know, and then we'd like to be at 30% and then 40% and so forth. Can't make, you know, you can only do what you can do, so you guys can figure out what the numbers are. But, you know, just having focus gets your results. So,
right.
I think what we're discovering in this
Go ahead, Jen.
Sorry, in this doing the system, at least for this month, only the last 2 weeks, is how much work is involved, as Bryant mentioned, for people who don't even have a plan. Doing that discovery process, creating a preliminary plan, reviewing it with the client, making the updates, getting to that point where we can monitor the plan, it's a lot of extra work. So that 20% might be a little bit optimistic, but it's certainly worth shooting for.
Right. No, I know. And you're doing it right. That's the key. Not just doing the numbers. I'm sure there's a way of fudging it and just doing the numbers, but doing it right makes it harder.
I think the other thing too, Matt kind of touched on earlier, that is our next big project, is getting the
Yeah. You guys know, I have to take off here because I'm seeing some big clients in Mountville, so I've got to get on the road. So sorry about that, but I got to exit here. So thanks, Rob.
Yeah,
no problem. See you, Rob.
All right, bye.
See you, Rob.
The next big thing is to get the asset management a little bit trimmed down, so we have fewer and fewer. I know everybody should have their own portfolio and it should be custom designed to them, but we don't need 757 different portfolios that we're using.
So. Okay, that's important for me to know, because it sounded like you had it pretty well tightened down, but it sounds like from what you're saying that there's still some work to do.
There is work to do. We have, you know, we've used the GIC model. So obviously that's, you know, probably the majority of where we have most of our managed accounts. And then, you know, Matt and Michelle have been a little bit more aggressive in using some supplements to that and some outside managers and things like that, that Rob and I haven't necessarily grasped onto yet. So that's kind of the next step in the evolution.
Well, I think what you want to do is kind of form your own little internal investment committee of with everybody, and then make a plan as to what you'd like it to look like. What would you like the practice to look like? If you had a magic wand, what would it look like? And then, just like with your planning process, set some goals and go after it. And start making it look like that. and just, you know, one account at a time, just kind of transition them to whatever you think is the best thing for them. I don't get into what is your best model. I don't tell you what the best model is. I let you guys do that. But, you know, I know that trying to monitor a lot of different styles or a lot of different managers is impossible. It's like, you know, not having a system for calling clients. It's a huge drain on your brain. And you can only handle so many different strategies. And the truth is, when you focus, you'll do better. The client will do better. You'll do better. Everybody's performance will be better. So it doesn't mean you compromise anything. I think you just determine what has been, you know, what's our best strategy and go with it. I mean, literally, people will have, Jim will tell you, right? People will have 350 different mutual funds. I mean, it's like, excuse me? You know, that's, what the hell?
So, we've done book reviews that have kept me up at night. 52 large cap growth funds, 47 large cap value funds, and I'm just driving home like, oh boy. So now this process from a Reg BI, standard of care, efficiency, knowledge, down the road, when you do make a move and drop a manager, so much easier just to remove one and replace it. And it's scalable. And like Rob always says, it's going to make your life easier and the ability to provide full wealth management services for that service fee, not investment advisory fee, then the estate planning, the long-term care, tax management, all the other things. It gives you time rather than reading prospectuses for mutual funds and all that mail. So, no, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, just, you know, Brian, you know how to do it. You build your matrix and you fill in the boxes. And if somebody, that's the idea, director of implementation's job is to say who goes in those boxes. And just like you're not going to add a client that doesn't meet your minimum, you don't let an investment manager into your process unless they knock somebody else out. And you got to justify why they knock them out. So, you know, maybe the matrix has, you know, maybe four large cap, small cap, medium cap, value, gap, growth at a, you know, at a reasonable price, GARP, and then growth, right? And then you got international, and that's about it. And you put one person in each of those boxes and then adjust the portfolio based on the asset allocation in each of those boxes. You overweight growth. And now, you know, growth has done so well, maybe we swing the pendulum towards value a little bit. But you can't run a practice unless you've got it down to that simplification of a model. Otherwise, it's just, you're going to have too many tails, too many, you know, somebody up 75%, somebody down 8%. Well, you know, we haven't looked at that fund for 2 years and it's done terrible. Oh, how did, you know, we only have four clients that own it. Well, that's four clients that didn't get attention. So it's.
And the trickle down effect of the servicing that once you implement what we're talking about, and we've all always wanted to, you know, institutionalize our process and do all that kind of stuff. But now it's finally happening. Think about, because you folks have done such a great job always of client seminars, client appreciation events, all these kind of things, which, as you heard, Morgan Stanley is going to continue to allow. But think of the leverage once you start to focus from our partner's perspective to get updates, get portfolio teams on the call, what's going on, what are you buying, what are you seeing, all that kind of stuff. Once you become a larger holder of that, you know, it's easier for you to move that needle on the support side. So, I mean, it's just only going to help you in the future.
Brian, thanks for sharing that, because I, you know, we can all say everything's great, right? Just tell Rob everything's great.
I didn't want you to think that we were, you know, your star pupils here.
No, when you're putting teams together, you're putting individuals together, you're merging practices, you're going to have a lot of dirty work to do. You know, it's just plain cleanup work, cleaning out the closets and cleaning things up. And all of a sudden, you know, but, and that looks, sounds like you like to do it. So what you want to do is just build process into that. Just build process so it works. You bring in a new team, you look at it, you don't have to do it in 24 hours. The idea is, where are we going? What are we going to look like? Every month we're going to make some progress in terms of making that happen. So part of your agenda for every client would be to review those outliers and eliminate them. You know, get the letter, get whatever you need to make it work, but get the outliers out of there and bring them into the fold so you manage can, because you can't manage the risk otherwise. You know, I always said that our job is really risk management. We think of ourselves as investment managers. We're really managing risk. The stocks, you know, the market manages itself. The market over time takes care of our work. The question is, can we manage the client's personality, their psychology, so they stay in? And can we manage our own psychology, and can we bring process to the investment process so we can at least match the markets? You know, we don't have to do better. We'd like to, but we don't have to. But if we're all over the place, we don't have a chance to at least match the markets. And if our psychology is off, or our asset allocation is off, then we get screwed up there too. So, you know, managing psychology is number one, and then managing their psychology is number two, and then the investment process is number three and four. Asset allocation is probably three after the psychology, and then selection of managers and stocks is four and five on the list.
All right, I know we've run over, so thanks for your comments.
There's a good book that I'm reading on the psychology of investment, and it's called The Psychology of Money. It just came out, and I heard him interviewed on CNBC. I'm reading it now in my free time. I think it's really worth reading. It can be very helpful. We all know, it's a good reminder of how do people really make money over time in equities? And this thing is very helpful. There's a lot of psychology that goes, we know. Anyway. All right, guys. Thanks. I appreciate
Thank you.
It. Congratulations. Doing great. We'll talk next month.
See you next month.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.